And we go to the Revel Wireless Hotline to connect with our good friend Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com, covers the National Football League so well for that site. Alex, I want to start with this. The Browns and the sixth overall pick, a lot of speculation on what might be done there, including the possibility of trading down. In fact, I think in the best scenario for a lot of teams in that top 10, moving down is what they'd want to do, but they all can't make those deals. What's some of the buzz you're hearing, and what are your thoughts about that possibility?
Yeah, right, Vic, if everyone kept moving down like everyone wants to and still getting talent, we wouldn't have a draft. We just have everyone continuing to trade out of the pick, right? And, you know, the Browns find themselves in an interesting spot, depending on what's available in front of them. For example, let's say that two of the top three left tackles are off the board by the time Cleveland is up, and I do expect that to happen. Well, all of a sudden, let's say the Miami Dolphins, if they don't complete a Brandon Alpert trade with Kansas City, do they maybe go ahead and jump up to grab Lane Johnson at number six? Would they be a willing trade partner considering the fact they have two twos and two threes in this draft? I think that is something to monitor, going forward. Is there a player out there that slips as a defender that maybe somebody thinks, wow, you know, I need a Deion Jordan. I need a Star Lutulele. I've got to take this guy. You know, is that going to be a spot? The cornerback position is interesting as well. The way it looks now, maybe the Browns are going to have their pick of the litter when it comes to a D. Milner, a D.J. Hayden of Houston, the cornerback there generating a lot of buzz. Guys, 10 minutes from death, I guess, he suffered a heart injury during practice last year. Fortunately, they saved his life. Now he may be the number one corner that's taken. So I think Cleveland finds themselves in a good spot, but in a perfect world, you'd love to get back that second-round pick that you spent on Josh Gordon. But if not, you know what, Vic? At least Josh Gordon has been an awfully good player and definitely worth selecting in the second round of last year's supplemental draft.
And I'm glad you brought that up because right now, unless things dramatically change, Josh Gordon enters the 2013 season as the Browns' number one receiver. And I think he's come back strong for his second year if these offseason workouts are any indication, looking at him physically, looking at how engaged he is with things and how much more he knows, which is understandable because he knew virtually nothing when he arrived here last July as a guy who had missed 18 months of football and was out of physical shape and didn't have it mentally going as far as what to do as an NFL receiver, and has picked up so much since then. But all that said, I think he's really an ideal fit for this team and this offense that Norv Turner has. So if you don't get back the second pick, it's not the worst thing in the world. You want it. I know you want to have win-win-win, right, where you have Gordon and the ability to draft somebody else in the second round, and I understand that too. But if they don't get that, here's the question I have with regard to the sixth pick. If they go with an outside linebacker, say they go with a Deion Jordan or Ziggy Ansah or Barkevious Mingo, somebody there, where do you get that corner? Who can you get when you maybe drop now down to the third round?
Yeah, that's a little bit tough. And I'm not really sure what names are going to be available when you do get to the third round. I know there is going to be some top-tier talent in the second. And one thing that the Browns have to hope for, and this is a question, Vic, I'm not sure if you're going to ask me later, but if the Browns are in the quarterback market, and if they are seriously looking at, and I think that they are, when you go out and you scout an E.J. Manuel in person in Tallahassee, you know, when you talk with Geno Smith, guys like this, I mean, to me, the question becomes how many quarterbacks go off the board and how much talent does that push down? I think that the offensive line, if you pick three tackles in the first six or seven picks, boom, all of a sudden some really good other talent is getting pushed back. People say this is a draft where the strength is between picks 15 and 40, that you could basically put all those names in a hat and almost have, you know, equal talent across the board there. So it's a deep draft, just not very top-heavy, as John Elway recently pointed out to the Denver Post. So that's a great question. Can the Browns move back into the second round? Do they need to go ahead and do that? Is there a possibility of that? You know, if they go ahead and there's a corner that they like there, I'm with you on that. You know, the one thing, you know, that you, at this point, the free agent market has been pretty much picked over. There are still some players out there. Quentin Jammer, for example, meeting with the Washington Redskins about the possibility of a contract. I mean, there are some measures that you can try to get by for one season doing. But ideally, love to have that second round pick. But Vic, I tell you what, though, even if not, you still got Josh Gordon, and that's pretty darn good.
Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com joining us here on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So how does the trade between the Jets and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers affect things, either with the Browns or anyone else? The Jets now getting the 13th overall pick from Tampa Bay, in addition to their ninth pick that they have already to send Darrelle Revis to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you know, and here's where I get very curious about this. Let's say you do address the outside linebacker position. A lot of folks that are pretty wise, including Gil Brandt, one of my co-hosts on SiriusXM NFL Radio, much like you, have Barcavius Mingo of LSU being in the mix for that number 9 pick. I do believe that that is a direction they will go. I don't think there's a corner. I mean, if D. Milner was still out there at 1, or even a Xavier Rhodes, and see, he plays a press style that I think works in a New York Jets defense. But the Jets thing is really strange. And Vic, I wrote about this at FoxSports.com, and a lot of it stems around Rex Ryan and what is his future with the New York Jets. I look at this as a situation where Rex, if he doesn't have a winning record this year, and it looks really rough when you look at that roster, he's going to get canned. So at that point, are you picking players this year based upon putting Rex Ryan in position to succeed, or do you have an eye a little bit upon 2014 and a new administration coming in that can work with the existing talent, or you realize there's going to be a changeover in the talent that is there? For example, if you take a quarterback at 13, and I don't put that out of the realm of possibility for the Jets, but if you take one, how do you know that if Rex Ryan, things don't work out with him, that the next head coach would want to go ahead and keep that same quarterback and be as committed to developing him going forward? So it really adds another element to this draft for the Jets, but I do think at number 9, they're going defense, I think outside linebacker or cornerback.
Well, and the other reason I bring this up, too, is with 2 picks, it does bring in that quarterback scenario possibly for the Jets, as some people have speculated. Some think maybe a Geno Smith goes to them at 13. I'm wondering, too, from the Browns' perspective, you bring up that they've expressed interest in quarterbacks. They've worked out quarterbacks and looked at them. And this could be for the express purpose of getting one in this draft, or at least doing their due diligence for future work, whatever. But if a guy like a Smith or somebody gets taken now, say, in that lower portion or mid portion, I guess, of the first round, and doesn't end up slipping far enough down for the Browns to either try to get that player with a second rounder that they could pick up, or even in the third round, I think that makes you wonder about how things could unfold.
Yeah, you're so right. How about this wild card? What if the Jags take Geno Smith at 2? Well, then things get interesting. If you want a quarterback and you got the Buffalo Bills coming up at 8, and you think the Bills have their eye on the same quarterback you want, if you're the Jets, for example, do you try to hop up? And does Cleveland make sense, or Arizona make sense as a potential trade partner as you try to usurp Buffalo? If they've got their eye on Ryan Nassib, the Syracuse quarterback who played under Nathaniel Hackett, the new offensive coordinator, and Doug Marrone at Syracuse, do you go ahead and if you love this kid, do you try to prevent the Bills from getting him because you think Buffalo may spend that high a pick on a quarterback? I mean, you look at their situation. I don't think that Kevin Cobb and Tavares Jackson are going to be taking this team to the Super Bowl anytime soon. So it's very curious now with the Jets now having this, because I believe the Bucs would have stood pat at 13. I believe the Jets would have stood pat at 9. Now the 19 and 13 picks are in play. The Jets' second-round pick could be in play, too, if they really feel that desperate need to have to bounce up a few spots.
Yeah, very, very interesting stuff. You know, you bring up the Browns and the quarterback situation in general. The incumbent, Brandon Whedon, loved what he saw, understandably, through the first few days of minicamp last week. Alex, in North Turner's offense, the downfield throwing, working from shotgun, all the things that he saw Phillip Rivers do in San Diego under Turner is very appealing to him, and you could see right away he has a comfort level. Just some of your thoughts on how this offense is going to evolve and what you think Whedon might be able to do now that he has a North Turner and Rob Chudzinski working with him.
I think it's absolutely great for Brandon Whedon. I mean, no knock on Pat Shurmur, obviously, and Brad Childress have a lot of respect for them as offensive minds, but North Turner's offense has been so tried and true successful through the years. And you look at, you know, in recent years, obviously Phillip Rivers has had his problems, but I look at that more as a personnel issue. I mean, I think what Norv wants to do, he wants to stretch the field vertically. He wants to put that fear into a defense, and then he has no problems calling running plays. In fact, when you look at Ricky Williams, the best success in his NFL career, 1,853 rushing yards, came when he was with the Miami Dolphins. He had a 1,400-yard season after that. I think Trent Richardson could have a monster year playing for Norv Turner, not only rushing the football, but also catching the ball out of the backfield. As excited as Brandon Whedon should be at the new dynamic that this offense provides and the development of his young wide receivers, if I'm Trent Richardson, I am absolutely giddy. You know, Trent, I mean, Norv, had he had Ryan Matthews been all that in a bag of donuts, performance, Vic, during his time with the San Diego Chargers. I mean, I don't think Norv Turner is out as head coach there. I mean, Norv wanted to run the football. Ryan Matthews kept getting hurt, and the backups just couldn't pick up the load. If Trent Richardson can stay healthy, my goodness, I think this young man is going to be just an absolute superstar, and I think Brandon Whedon has a real good shot of succeeding. The better Trent Richardson does, the better Brandon Whedon's going to play.
Yeah, and you're right about the excitement that Richardson has been expressing as well, invoking the name of Emmett Smith, knowing yep. what the guy who went to his high school in Pensacola, Florida, did in Norv Turner's offense in Dallas. That's something that is a touchstone for Trent Richardson and a reason for him to be very excited. As we look at other components that the Browns need offensively, a lot of discussion about a tight end. Jordan Cameron has looked impressive in minicamp. I don't know if that has been something that would change their thoughts, but do you see this as a draft where the Browns could come away with a good tight end, maybe somewhere in the middle area?
Yeah, you know, this is a very deep draft for tight ends. 19 were invited to the combine, and there's a kid, a big kid from San Diego State. You've got a Syracuse kid. You've got, you know, Travis Kelce of Cincinnati, although a lot of people are worried about some character issues there that may drop his draft stock. But I think there is tight end talent to be found in the third and fourth rounds of this draft, and I think that's where you could target somebody. You hate to say developmental, but it does usually take a year, Vic, as you know, for a tight end to really make an impact. You know, sometimes they can go ahead, get on the field, 25, 30 catches. You can go ahead, be a red zone threat like Kyle Rudolph was, but look at, for example, how much that young man improved from year one to year two. Look at the jump that Jimmy Graham took, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez. I mean, these are some of the prime tight ends in the game, but as rookies, they didn't really light the world on fire. So I think the hope is that Jordan Cameron is able to develop in this system. And another area where tight ends have excelled under Norv Turner is the tight end position. I mean, you know, Randy McMichael for a long time, Antonio Gates, clearly had success there with him. I mean, you can go back, Jay Novacek, if you want to go back to the Dallas days.
Yeah.
So I think there's a reason for Jordan Cameron to be excited. And that's the whole thing, too. You know, look, the reality is that even with the administration change in Cleveland and the fact there's been some bloodletting, some of this young talent has to step up. You know, I mean, just, you know, and you hope that it does. I mean, you hope that in that second, third year of development, you see a Greg Little hold on to the football better. You hope a Jordan Cameron becomes an every-down player, you know, making up for the mistake of signing Evan Moore to a contract extension a few years ago. I mean, I think that if some of these young guys can step up, it legitimately could push the Browns. I don't want to say into the playoff picture because that would be awfully optimistic at this point. And you know, that's a best-case scenario. But there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to make hay this year in this division. The Pittsburgh Steelers, clearly a team right now that has a lot of issues. Cincinnati hasn't won a playoff game yet, even though they've made the postseason the past couple years. You're not sure where they're at with them, if they're going to take that next step. And the Baltimore Ravens, heavy as the head that wears the crown, Vic. Everyone's going to be aiming for them. Who knows if they're going to be able to make it back, even though the postseason, just like the New York Giants found out last year, success one year doesn't guarantee it the next.
Right. Well, Alex, tremendous breakdown. We always appreciate that, and I look forward to seeing you at Radio City Music Hall on Thursday.
Back at you, Vic. Thank you, brother.
Right. He is Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com, from SiriusXM NFL Radio. Check out his great work in both places. Joining us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.